Obviously, Brother Aaron wouldn't have any problem filling the whole hour, and obviously I wouldn't either. But this idea popped in my head as I'm a person who likes change. I like to mix things up, and I thought, now, how long is a guy listening to me, my voice, and the way I speak before he starts dozing off, you know? So we'll mix it up a little bit. So thank you, Aaron. And I thought of telling Aaron, hey, my sermon's going to be about this. I thought, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm just putting him out there on his own. And it turned out that I got put out on my own because I thought I'd be before him. So, but that's great. That's great. And I feel like that the message that our brother just brought to us is so crucial. Because I find that the adversary strikes at the heart of God's children with division. With division. That's how he has success against us. And some of the very words that our brother Aaron has spoke to us today has been upon my heart all week. And that's not what my sermon's about, by the way. But it just is so amazing to me that time after time, I see the Lord inspire people to speak about certain things. And certainly the division among God's people, whether it be in your family or in the church or in a group of people, it's destructive. It's destructive. And so we never want to be a participant in that. And I feel like Aaron's given you some words of instruction. And as I thought here and I listened to some of the scriptures he read, and he kind of got around some of my scriptures, and I thought, oh, he's going to read my scripture. I really want to give you some words of how do we accomplish it? How do we accomplish it? And this sermon, unlike most sermons that I give, really was placed upon my heart starting the second day of this month. I went up to the ranch by the 4th of July, and I was up there on the 2nd, and that's when I really put this upon my heart. I feel like the Lord did. So let's jump right into it, and I want to read just a few verses, and I just have some bullet points, and I'd ask that you really pay attention, because as I was preparing this, I thought, wow, no one's going to be able to follow this. This is like, wing, wing, way over there, you know, and at the end of this, if you say, man, I have no idea what he said, I'm just going to blame it on I've been tired from camp. I haven't slept much, and I just... No, I think if you follow along, you'll see what I'm saying. 1 Nephi chapter 3, if you turn there just briefly, and hopefully as doing stuff like this, we just kind of break up the monotony of it, and hopefully that the Lord can use sometimes my silliness or lack of conforming to the norm to, you know, strengthen us a little bit. So, 1 Nephi 3, I'm going to read the 46th verse, starting in the 46th verse, just a few words. And it says, 1 Nephi 3. I'm not sure I wrote down all right. That might be because I was tired. 3:46. Sometimes I have a hard time knowing when to start and stop. I'm going to read those words there. I'm not sure if I may have backed up a little bit. 1 Nephi chapter 3. That's what the problem is. I'm in the wrong spot. I like that verse, though. Real quick here, verse 46, sorry about that. Okay, there we go. And it came to pass that the Spirit said unto me, look, this was Nephi, he wanted to know and understand the dream that his dad had had concerning the tree of life. And he sought the Lord and asked the Lord, hey, can I have some understanding on this? And the Lord came to him and said, and it came to pass that the Spirit said to me, look, and I looked, and I beheld a tree, and it was like unto the tree which my father had seen. And the beauty thereof was far beyond, yea, exceeding all beauty. And the whiteness thereof was exceeding white as a driven snow. And it came to pass that after I had seen the tree, I said unto the Spirit, Behold, thou hast shown unto me the tree which is precious above all. And he said unto me, he, the Spirit, said unto me, What desirest thou? Okay, so here Nephi is having a conversation with this heavenly messenger. And I said unto him, To know the interpretation thereof. And I spoke unto him as a man speaketh. For I beheld that he was in the form of a man, yet nevertheless I knew that it was the Spirit of the Lord. And he spoke unto me as a man speaketh with another. And so here Nephi was basically having a conversation with this messenger, which he felt was the Lord. And it came to pass that I said unto that he said unto me, Look. And I looked as if to look upon him, and I saw him not, for he was gone from before my presence. And it came to pass that I looked, and I beheld a great city of Jerusalem, and I also saw other cities. And I beheld the city of Nazareth, and the city of Nazareth I beheld a virgin, and she was exceeding fair and white. And it came to pass that I saw the heavens open, and the angels come down, and stood before me, an angel came down, stood before me, and he said unto me, Nephi, what beholdest thou? And we know that Nephi was seeing that Mary was going to bring forth Jesus, but he's seen this in a dream or a vision, 600 years before it happened. So, but he had a clear vision of it. Okay, I'm going to jump. So hang on. We're going to go to Zechariah in the Old Testament of the Bible, near the New Testament. Hopefully I can find it in my new Bible. And in Zechariah, in the 7th chapter, it says, in the 7th chapter, in verse 8, of Zechariah, it says, And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. So here we see the Lord spoke to one of his prophets, as he often did. And he usually addressed them in some way. In Zechariah's case, sometimes it says, Thus saith the Lord, but it said, The word of the Lord came unto him. Okay? The word of the Lord came unto him and gave him some instructions. And that's why I said this sermon has some real bullet points, okay? I'm not a very good writer. And when I write stuff for work or things I have to do, I just put bullet points. I put one of those little dots you can get on a computer, a little arrow, and I put bullet points. Because that's how I think. I want to know the facts, only the facts, forget the rest. So this sermon, and it kind of works good because I don't have a lot of time, has some of those facts, And here he talks about almost exactly what Aaron was talking about there, not oppressing those around us, but showing kindness and compassion and strength to those around us, okay? A little bullet point there. But there's two meanings in these verses that I'm reading. Let's jump to the next one. And I'm only talking about one of them. We're going to jump to the next one. Malachi, just a few pages over. Malachi chapter 3 and chapter 3, we're going to read verse 7. Maybe. I'm sorry. I Hezekiah. I actually wrote down chapter 1. I'm sorry, chapter 1, verse 1. Nothing looks the same with this Bible as my old Bible. And in verse 1, it says, "The burden of the Lord, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord." Okay, now we're going to jump to chapter 3. And we're going to start over there in verse 7. And it says, "Even from this, from the days of our fathers," and he's talking to Israel here, okay, in particular. Some of these things fit us, obviously, but he's talking to Israel. It says, "Even from the days of your fathers, ye have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye saith, wherein will we return?" We're right here. They're not seeing it. And in the eighth verse it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. And ye are, yea, are ye cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation." And this is, again, this is Malachi speaking to Israel. And they're not getting it. They're not getting it. They're like, "Nah, you're not talking about us. We're right here." And it says, "Bring ye all the tithes into my storehouse, that ye may that there may be meat in my house. Prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, for I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that ye shall not have room enough to receive. And I will rebuke the devourer for thy sake." To me, this is, I read this morning early and I thought, wow, I've missed some of these points before. "I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vineyard cast its fruit before its time, time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." Again, every one of these verses I've read, I have two main points I want out of them. This one here is obvious. You know, it's a need that we pay tithing. Oh, I forgot I had a prop. Look at that. I love that original Coke. That original Coke is made of sugar cane instead of beet sugar. And it's good. Can't be good for you, but it's good. That's a pop bottle. Does anybody here tell me what this bottle of pop costs, roughly? This is a full liter. Some of them are a little smaller, but how much is this today? If I went down to the store, Jose, how much is this today? Do you know? $2. Do you buy this?
I do. By the case.
He knows how much a case costs, just not one. Okay, the smaller bottle costs like a buck and a quarter at Home Depot. They have them right there as you go out the register, so they sucker you into it. This here is maybe a couple bucks. A couple bucks, right? I have a point to make to you. When I was a kid, young guy, maybe Logan's age, old enough to I could walk home from school in a small town by myself, my mom worked at a grocery store. And in that grocery store was a pop machine. And in that pop machine was glass bottles. They weren't cans. And you put your money in there, and you could open the door, and it would allow you to pull one bottle out. You know, some of you that are as old as I am may remember that. Some of you that are younger probably have no idea what I'm talking about. But you could pull one bottle out. And I'm not going to tell you what year that was, but Gary, how much do you think I had to put in that pop machine? 15 cents. 5 cents, yeah. 10 cents, I think, when I first started. But 15 cents would get me a bottle of soda. And I'm here to tell you, most of the time, I didn't have 15 cents. And my mom wasn't going to give me 15 cents to waste on a bottle of pop. But once in a while, I scraped together 15 cents and get me a soda out of there. Okay? This is my point, and then I'm going to move on. In the late 1970s, that was before then, by the way, not a lot, but a little bit. If I came to church, I put a dollar in the plate at Sunday school. And I could buy a soda, though, for 15 cents, 25 cents. Today, some 20 years plus, 30 years later, if I'm not careful, I'm still putting a dollar in that plate. But that soda's costing $2 instead of a quarter. Just think about it. You know, we're creatures of habit. It's important that we recognize our responsibility, obligation to the church. That's all I'm saying. I'm assuming most everybody in here is pretty good about paying their tithing. It takes money to run a church. It takes money to help people in need. And I know for me, you know, it's like, I'll pay $5 into each one of the funds or something. Well, $5 isn't much anymore, you know. That's two sodas for me. And most of us are not a stranger to dropping $5 on a Starbucks, you know. But yet, I only may be putting $5 into place. So just think about it. That's all I'm asking. I hate talking about money in church, by the way. But here, I see this verse that we like to read about tithing, but I've seen something more today, and it says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground." These are promises that the Lord has given us with these commandments. They're promises. There's blessings given. I'm going to talk about, I've got a couple more verses, but I'm going to forego those and talk about the other part of the meaning. Did you have something, Jim? I'm sorry. We'll have a season of prayer. Yeah. Even now, you know, if you could just quietly remember our brother Bob, who's been taken to the hospital. The other part of the meaning of these scriptures is the burden of the word of the Lord according to Malachi. And, you know, Nephi desired to know something of the Lord, and the Lord made himself known unto Nephi. And he said he was in the form of a man, but he knew he was in the spirit. And he spoke to him. And so I have a question for you today that really is just the headline of what I want to talk about, besides these other little things. And it goes right along with what our brother Aaron was talking about. We're allowed to divide ourselves. We're allowed to wander in the paths of indecision. Because unlike these men, we're not hearing the voice of the Lord. I'm going to share a testimony with you, and then I'm going to close. Does everybody know what this is? This is an antler. It's an elk antler. Not a real big one, pretty good size. For an elk, I found a lot bigger ones than these. And I haven't found an elk antler in several years. One, because people like to go out and look for them because you can sell them by the pound, and they're worth about $14, $15 a pound. And so, you know, that antler weighing in at 5 pounds worth $50, you know. And so people just scavenge the woods for them where it used to be you'd find them. And some places you're not even supposed to pick them up anymore. But I want to talk to you a little bit about how the Lord speaks to us. How are you communicating with the Lord? You're praying. I'm confident of that. But are you hearing His voice in the quiet? Are you hearing His voice in the moment of decision that you choose to be angry or you choose not to be angry? Do we hear His voice in the moment of decision whether I do something or I don't do it? Right or wrong? Are we listening? You know, I believe it's in the 1 Nephi in the 5th chapter, it talks about that still, small voice. Do you hear that still, small voice? Is it in your ears? This antler was picked up on the second day of this month. Can anybody tell me real quick, when do elk drop their antlers? End of the year, basically. January, after the rut. After the rut, elk and deer both. So December, January, maybe into February, they all drop their antlers. And they grow a new one every year, which is an amazing thing within itself, that this entire antler can grow in a month and a half, 2 months. But so this antler was dropped. That's why it's bleached a little bit. The sun's been shining on it on that side, not on that side. It was dropped somewhere in January, February at the latest. Sorry. As most of you know, I'm a little stranger than most. Kind of have my own weirdness, you know. Didn't grow up in the conventional way. Nature means a lot to me. As most of you know, I'd just as soon be in the woods as anywhere else. And a month ago when I went up north, I oftentimes, as I'm driving through the woods, maybe a road I've been down 100 times, this particular one, I'd been down 100 times, and I'll see a tree, and I was like, I haven't seen that tree before. So I get out and go walking through the woods and look at that tree, and I see another tree that's unusual or different or different species of tree. And so the next thing you know, I've wandered to 10 different trees, and this afternoon that I was headed up there, and this occurred. I'm driving along. I don't remember that alligator juniper tree being there before. So I get out of the truck and go look at it. And as I begin to wander through the woods looking at trees and little shelves in the canyons and stuff, I begin to pray I'm no different than a lot of you who perhaps we pray about the same thing over and over again. Don't understand why the Lord seemingly doesn't hear our prayers. Or he does. We have confidence he does, but it's like no action's taking place, you know. And so I'm wandering through the woods. I'm praying, and as most of you know, I have a lot of concerns about my son. Not this one, the other one. And I'm kind of past the point in my life where I ask the Lord for a sign. You know, I have confidence he's hearing me. But I'm praying, I'm walking and looking around and visiting with the Lord about a lot of things that are upon my heart. Near the end of my prayer, you know, I say, Lord, it'd be nice to find an antler. Because it just looks like an area I'd find an antler at, you know. And I walk a little longer, and I close my prayer, and I go back to the truck, and I'm fine with that. Which was fine. I was out of my mind. And I get in the truck, and I drive down the road, the same road I've been down a half a dozen times this year. And maybe go from here to, I don't know, Quick Trip. Look over. you know, from me to Joe, lays that out. Just right there alongside the road that I've driven down a bazillion times, you know. In the daytime, in the evening, in the morning, I've driven down it. And, I mean, obviously since that antler's been shed in January. And over the years, I've really trained my eyes to be able to pick up game in the woods, you know, antlers. A few years ago, I was sitting on a canyon, and across the canyon, up the other side, I seen something laying there. Get my binoculars. There's an antler right there, you know. And there's no way. I've driven by that antler a half a dozen times, laying alongside the road from here to Joe, and not seen it. And the moment I see it, of course, I jump out of the truck and run over there, pick it up, you know. And immediately begin praying, thanking the Lord. Like I said, I know most of you probably think I'm a little stranger than most, thinking the Lord speaks to me with an answer. But the Lord speaks to us where we hear Him. And sometimes in ever so subtle ways. Years ago, I was up south of Flagstaff on my quad, running through the woods, kind of slow, just pouring out my heart to the Lord over some burdens I had, again, by myself, and just driving and driving. I don't know where, if I knew where I was driving. I was just driving and talking to the Lord, and come around the corner, there stands, you know, two or three beautiful, majestic elk looking at me, which is not an unusual thing to see in the woods, you know. But in that instant, the Lord confirmed to me, I'm hearing you. No different than with this antler. You know, He didn't try and send me some message here. It was, I'm hearing you. I'm hearing you. I'm hearing what you're saying. And I'm taking care of it. So when we're thinking about some of the things that our brother talked about this morning, unity, division, and we think, man, I just pray and pray and pray, and this doesn't seem like anything happens. Or we got a struggle in our life that we just seem like we can't overcome. I have to ask the question, are you listening? Are you truly with your heart? Not your ears. My ears are trashed. You know, with your heart, are you listening to what the Lord has to say? Are you giving Him ear? That still small voice. Are you looking for Him to answer? That's really my message. Thank you. Okay. You got a song, or you want to close it right quick? Okay. Thank you.